Turn with me to Zechariah. Zechariah. Chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 1. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "And the angel that talked with me came again and walked and waked me, as a man that is waking out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Which that would be salvation. We don't have anything. We can't contribute anything to our salvation. And this Zerubbabel, it's obviously, we looked at this before, is a type and picture of Christ. Verse 7. "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. These are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth." Now the one phrase that I want us to look at is, "Who shall despise the day of small things?" I've liked this phrase for a long time, but never really pulled it out. Obviously, the context is the Lord. His grace is sufficient. Grace unto it. The Zerubbabel, the Lord Jesus Christ, has laid the foundation of this house. The house will be man's heart. His hand shall also finish it. He has begun a good work, he will finish it. But how does he finish these things? He uses means. He doesn't have to, but he does. And we come to the phrase, "Who hath despised the day of small things?" I have four examples. Four examples where the Lord used small things. Some of them, actually only one person's named. We don't have in the names of the other three examples. Turn with me to Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. Right before Job, Esther chapter 4. We'll look at verses 1 through 9. Four examples of the Lord using small things for His honor and His glory to bring forth His gospel, and thereby many are redeemed, are called, are quickened. Mordecai perceived all that was done, and all that was done was to be found in chapter 3. This one Haman of the court of the king saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. He was full of anger. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So we know Mordecai is a prominent Jew in a strange land, and Esther, who is also a Jew, is a queen to the king Ahasuerus. Now this is what's going on. And when Mordecai perceived all that was done, how that Haman put out a decree and put it out very quickly to kill and murder all the Jews, he rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and he went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. In every province, whosoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes, because they've read the decree. The decree's already been posted in all these kingdoms, provinces. We're going to get killed. We're going to be the final destruction of the Jews. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains, that is messenger, came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceeding grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he refused it. Then called Esther for Hatak. Here's this guy. He's a messenger. He's a chamberlain. His name is Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed, the king appointed, to attend upon her, Esther. And she gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. What's going on? Why are you grieved? She's still in the palace. She doesn't know what's going on. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai onto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told Hatak of all that happened unto him, and of the sum of money that this Haman, this wicked Haman, had promised to pay to the king's treasurers for the Jews to destroy them. And Mordecai gave Hatak a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto the Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make her request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And again, Esther spake to Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. You got Mordecai, knows what's going on, found out what was going on. You got a queen that doesn't know what's going on. He's grieved. She knows something's wrong. So she just pulls this guy out. His name is Hatak. In the Hebrew, his name means verity, which means truth or real. Truth or real. In the wise and ever wondrous providence of our sovereign God, he uses this messenger. We got his name, Hatak. He uses this messenger to be used to deliver the Jews from being annihilated. He brought the message of Mordecai to Esther. That's all he did. Do we not have some message ourselves? A message? We are messengers of God. To deliver the sinner from certain death unto life, liberty, and pardon. As I mentioned, his name means truth or real. And we, by God's good and powerful grace, take the truth of how God can be just and justifier. We take the truth. And this is the singular message and really the only reality that there is. People in this world, they think the reality is now, here and now, is to make money, is to be profitable, is to relax, is to recreate, is to do anything but come to the house of God and hear the gospel. So, we take the gospel to them. You go shopping, you see somebody you know. We are so guilty of talking about everything but what they need to hear. That's what we do. If here's this person, he's just a messenger. Woe unto him if he was not faithful in doing what he was. He's a chamberlain. He's a messenger. We are apt to overlook the minor actors in scriptural stories in our absorbed interest in the prominent ones. Yet oftentimes these lesser people are just as important in their own place, and their service is just as essential to the final success of the whole as the greater ones. Do not despise the day of small things. That's us here. That's us here. Let us be a faithful Hatak. Turn to me to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Now Naaman, you remember him, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. This is a Gentile. He's a Syrian. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians, when they had conquered Jerusalem, had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel. And they brought this a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She's in the court. She's just a little maid. That's all we know about her. That's all we know about her. She said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid, this little maid, that is of the land of Israel." That is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, "Go to, and I will send thee a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." It came to pass, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man does send to me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, to see how he seeks a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me. Let Naaman come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." The Lord used this little maid. We don't even have her name. Was used of God to fill the gaps just so as to cause this mighty leper to hear of the God of Israel, to hear of the gospel. He got humbled, he got healed, and he got recovered from this foul disease. And isn't there people walking around among us who are in foul disease, who are born with, you know, in sin, and that's all they know, and that's all they care to know about? They're concerned about buying and selling and getting gain. But this little maid was used of God to speak the truth, to make them aware. Now, she didn't. Is there a place in Jackson? Is there a place in Southeast Missouri where the gospel is preached? Just tell somebody. May we be used. In the splendor of the Syrian court, none could help Naaman but this little maid, this insignificant little girl. The smallest links in a chain are oftentimes quite as important as the greatest links. But we, you know, our eyes go to the great links. Our eyes go to that which men see and men talk about. I don't care. They were ignorant and unlearned men, but they had been with Christ. Why, the smallest of seeds, the mustard seed, used to sell it at Sunny Hill, it can and does propagate into something large and graceful. Can we not be employed of God wherever we are stationed or called, wherever we're stationed or called. Oh, I need to have more money to be able to talk with the Lord. No, I need to have a bigger home. No, you don't need any of that stuff. You have everything we need. We have the mouth, we have the tongue, we have the fortitude of grace in the heart. Whatever the gifts He gives to each child of grace, may we make use of it to the fullest. Honor God in whatever walk of life we are presently in. I say again, do not despise the day of small things. Turn to John chapter 6. And I had to look, because I thought, okay, this is, I had never seen this, to be honest with you. Because this parable, this lesson, the feeding of the 5,000, it's in Matthew, it's in Mark, or Luke, it's in other places. And so that's where I usually would go. And it doesn't mention this one situation. I'd missed this completely. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered, 2 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down and number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks and distributed to the disciples. The disciples to them were set down, likewise the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves and remained over and above them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Pretty interesting revelations. Now, how did they see that? Because there was a little lad who, it doesn't mention even this that there was a lad there in the other two Gospels. So I'm looking, I'm like, okay, this is one more passage in John 6. So I'm like, I guess this writer knows what he's talking about. And I look and there it was. He didn't give the passage where he took that from. So I looked through the other places and said, I'm not sure it's there. And here it is. Do we not wish to make known that prophet? Verse 14. Because of what happened, because this little lad was so unselfish and gave what he could, the Lord, these men, it's a miracle. They've seen the miracle and they said, is this of a truth? This is of a truth. That prophet. Let us be of service as this unnamed lad was. He, through the unselfish giving, was employed by Christ to feed many folk who perhaps, without the supply of food or miracle, would have perished. We don't know. Notwithstanding, in God's unbroken and sure providence, this lad was applied to an end. He helped those in time of need. He helped those in time of need. May our Lord use us as He deems best for the supply of rich free grace unto life everlasting, all to the praise of the glory of His grace. So we may not be a David, we may not be a John or a Paul. However, we can avail ourselves to be deployed for God's employ so as to exalt His free electing grace found only in the Beloved. To be a part, to be put in the service wherever and whenever He chooses to do so. To see that it is God in Christ who calls us, quickens us, chooses us, chose us all to humbly bow before His rightful claims. This lad just happened to be there. And You could say, what if, you know, what if the little maid wasn't there? Well, according to the story, Naaman wouldn't have been, you know. And what if Esther hadn't had a sit? What if Hatak hadn't have been there? Or did not faithfully discharge his service? Now we know all things are of God, and this is the story. It cannot be altered any other way. But I'm saying, once again, do not despise the day of small things. And lastly, we looked at this before, 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22, it's about this wicked king, Ahab. We've looked at this story before, 1 Kings 22. This king, he's so wicked, he didn't even dress up like a king. He made sure nobody knew who he was when he was out there because he's afraid he may get killed. Well, his time was numbered anyway. In verse 34, 1 Kings 22, and a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel, that's Ahab, between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host. I am wounded. And he dies. We know the story. He dies. But he did whatever he did, all the things he could. All the things that man's wisdom tells him he should do. He had armor, he had this and he had that. But basically, a nobody, a certain man, is not named, drew up upon his bow and shot an arrow, just at a venture. He's going to hit somebody, maybe not, maybe a horse, maybe bounce off the armor, but he just... It found its mark in the breast of this wicked ruler or king. It killed him, slain, dead, died. And every time you talk to somebody, every time I preach to somebody, anybody's up here, that's what we're doing. That's exactly what we are trying to accomplish. Every time we speak the truth, which is the arrow, is we're trying to kill sinners. We're trying to kill them of their own hope in themselves. We're trying to slay their trusting in their armor. They're trusting in their ability to think and to do all these different things. To trust anything other than Christ. That's what we're doing. But we don't take specific aim. We just shoot it. The word certain is italic. A man. It's just somebody. But if God has given you the gospel, you carry arrows. And that's what we do. We pray God will smite the proud and humble them and convert them, that the flesh may be crucified dead and the new creature in Christ arise to life everlasting. The name, the position of the shooter is of no concern, really. You have the arrows of the truth. The Word of God. I've quoted this last time I quoted this at 13th Street, but what Scott Richardson said, a preacher is a nobody who tells everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And so is a believer. Or nothing. God says His Word will not come back void ever. You may be heaping coals of coals of fire on their head for their condemnation. We don't know. He will utilize whom He will to speak the truth and the reality, Hatak, reality, truth, or the gravity of their situation at hand, that they're lost and undone and they're sinners. We were talking about this the other day. You know, with this discipline thing that they brought back in Southwest Missouri. Melinda, not too many years ago, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God was required reading in schools. You bet. He may damage the psyche of the children. I don't think so. I don't think so. We are to proclaim the good news of the Savior and substitute for the lawless and for the captives. And through the gospel, arrows set them free to serve, worship, and adore Christ, the King of Kings. Again, I say, do not despise the day of small things. Let me read you something. When somebody was ordained, but preacher, saved, sinner, this is a good prayer for all of us. But this particular person was being ordained, and he said, "Oh Lord God, Thou hast made me a pastor and a teacher in the church." We're all kings and priests, so this applies to everybody. "Thou seest how unfit I am to administer rightly this great and responsible office. And had I been without Thy aid and Thy counsel, I would surely have ruined it a long time ago. Therefore, do I invoke Thee. How gladly do I desire to yield and consecrate my heart and mouth to this ministry. I desire to teach the congregation. I, too, desire ever to learn and to keep Thy word, my constant companion, and to meditate thereupon earnestly. Use me as Thy instrument in Thy service. Only do not Thou forsake me, for if I am left to myself, I will certainly bring it all to destruction." That's us. We, in whatever capacity He graces, let us fill it to the fullest. To God be the glory and honor and praise in this little group, but may we not despise the day of small things. Bruce, would you close this, please?